Welcome to Cradles and Candles, a podcast where we explore the magic in every day. I'm your host, Elowen Sage, and whether you're a parent, caregiver, or simply curious about your spiritual journey, this is a space to learn, reflect, and connect. So light a candle, take a breath, and let's step into magic together. So today's episode, I wanted to kind of go and focus on kitchen witchery, how we do it, and why you might decide to do it. Kitchen witchery is, in my mind, a perfect way to add witchcraft into your everyday life in a simple way without adding too much effort or extra time out of your potentially already busy day. So you might be thinking, witchcraft in the kitchen, isn't that just cooking? And that is exactly what it is, and that's why it fits into your everyday life perfectly. Because every time we cook, we are literally transforming ingredients into something new. And that process carries energy within it. And when we add intention to that process, we can infuse our actions with awareness, care, and love. And then suddenly, you're not just cooking anymore. You're performing small rituals, you're channeling magic into the food you might prepare, and you're blessing the people who eat it. And so with the holidays approaching, I wanted to talk about how easy it is to incorporate magic into your everyday life, even when things become very chaotic with Thanksgiving and Yule coming up very quickly. And from blessing your meals to setting intentions in your cooking, I want you to understand that you can make these holidays and you can make these moments deeply meaningful and magical, even if you're just cooking for yourself or for your family or just on an everyday event where there is no holiday. So what exactly is kitchen witchery? At its core, kitchen witchery is the practice of bringing awareness, mindfulness, and that intention into your cooking. So you are cooking, but you're adding a little bit more to it. It's about turning your everyday acts in the kitchen into spiritual practices. And it's not like it has to be anything expensive. You don't need any tools or fancy spells, though you can get some if you want to make it a little bit more fun and interesting. But it truly is just about the energy, the focus, and the purpose that you are putting into your cooking and into the actions of you being in the kitchen. And so if we think about it, when we stir a pot or when we season a dish or when you're simply just baking bread, you're literally transforming raw materials into sustenance. You're transforming very simple ingredients into a dish that nourishes someone. And that transformation in itself is magical. Every ingredient you touch has energy, just like everything in the world has energy that goes through it. And every dish you create carries some of your energy and your intention and your care within it. And this makes cooking a perfect form of witchcraft because it's both practical and deeply personal, and something we all have to do on a daily basis. So you can make kitchen witchery uniquely yours in so many ways. Some people like to keep altars or symbols in their kitchens, where others just like to work silently. They set intentions with each step. And then some incorporate different herbs or colors and tools with traditional correspondences. And then others focus entirely on feelings and energy behind what they're doing. So with kitchen witchery, there's really no wrong way to do it. It's all about what resonates with you. And I know when I first started, I didn't know much about kitchen witchery and how it worked or what to really do. But what I did do when I first started was when I was preparing a meal for ritual or Sabbath, I made a point to burn incense and create a sacred space in the area that I was preparing the food. And sometimes the act might not always involve cooking itself, but the intention in preparing the space around you as well. So there are so many ways to fit every type of witchcraft into your practice. It's just about making it unique and personal to your path. And I know that I struggled and still do sometimes with the thought that I'm not getting it right. But honestly, if it feels right and true to you, then go with it, because your guides are not going to lead you wrong. So if some of this stuff we talk about today resonates with you, great. Use it, try it out. If it doesn't, then feel what works for you and try different things out, and don't be afraid to experiment and learn your own way. So with that being said, let's get into some of the basics with kitchen witchery overall. So I guess, how do you actually practice kitchen witchery is one of the main questions. And I've said it before, but the simplest and most powerful tool is just your intention. You can simply start with adding intention into your cooking, and you can just ask yourself, what do I want to bring into the dish? Or what energy do I want this meal to carry? And start with that. Putting your intention into the dish that you make innately brings magic into it and purpose into it and love into it. So you can start with working just intentionally with different ingredients, such as different herbs, spices, fruits and vegetables. Many of these things have traditional correspondences that you can use and you can look up and you can work with. It is very easy to just simply Google what the correspondences are. You can also buy books that help with the correspondences, but just think of them like magical allies with personalities of their own that you're able to cook with. So for example, cinnamon is all about prosperity, success, and abundance. And if you work with rosemary, it's going to add protection, clarity, and remembrance. Thyme will add courage, strength, and vitality. Apples incorporate love and harmony. And then pumpkins can bring abundance and manifestation. And these are just some examples of what you can use. And you can find so many more examples. If you have a dish that you're working with, take a second to look at what the ingredients are and look up their correspondences. These correspondences come from folklore, herbal magic, and generations of kitchen witches before us. But just remember, you are part of that lineage now, and so you don't need to feel boxed in. If you personally associate with an ingredient that has something meaningful to you, such as lemon reminds you of your grandmother's kitchen or basil makes you feel calm, then keep in mind that that personal symbolization is often far more important and more potent than any traditional reference. So even if you don't look up the correspondences, go with how you feel with those herbs and those spices and those ingredients, because that's also very meaningful. Another thing that you can do is just have mindful preparation. Once you've chosen your ingredients, that's when the real magic starts to begin with just how you handle them. Try and practice mindfulness as you cook. So chop, stir, knead, and season your food with purpose. Don't do it mindlessly. Feel the textures under your hands. Notice how the aromas shift as your dish transforms, and try and stay fully present in the moment. Some witches like to stir clockwise to attract positive energy. Others like to do counterclockwise to release negativity. Based off of what you're cooking and the purpose for that, you can do one of those. You can also whisper your intention into the pot or hum a tune that matches the energy that you're trying to call in. And all these tiny gestures are ones that you might even forget about later, but they layer subtle magic into every stage of the meal. And it's not about perfection, it's just about presence. So as long as you're there and you're incorporating this in, the magic's there as well. You can also just simply bless the meal before serving it. You can bless it and to seal in your intention. And it doesn't have to be anything elaborate. Most of the time, it can just be something very simple, because some of the most powerful blessings are the simplest ones. And you might just speak a quiet word or a short prayer. Most important thing to know is that you're incorporating that energy and that power into the food. So something even like, may this food nourish our bodies, our minds, and our spirits, is a beautiful starting point. You can phrase it in whatever way aligns with your practice. And the key is your sincerity. the energy you put into the food isn't just symbolic. It then becomes a part of the experience for everyone who shares that meal. And so another thing that you can do is many people have different tools that they like to help aid in their magic. Even your kitchen tools can play a role in that magic. So over time, your favorite spoon, your well-worn out chopping board, or that wooden bowl you always reach for can become infused with your energy and your intention. Some witches like to dedicate their tools with a simple ritual, similar to the different tools that they might have at their altar, and they might cleanse them with smoke or moon water or hold them and state their purpose. But even without a formal ceremony, consciously choosing and caring for your tools adds just another layer of meaning to your practice. I know many witches have special tools in the kitchen that they use just for when they cook food for rituals and Sabbaths, and then other tools that are used for every day. So just keep in mind that as you use these tools again and again, they will essentially become extensions of your magical self. So the tools that you use in your cooking also can help aid in your magic. And kitchen witchery isn't about perfection or following strict rules. It's about developing an intentional relationship with your ingredients, your tools, and just the act of nourishing yourself and others. Every meal becomes an opportunity for magic, grounding, and connection. And the more you practice this, the more natural and powerful it becomes. And it is, again, just another way to just bring magic into every day, because most of us have to cook at least one meal. So why not make it a magical one? So I know at the beginning I said with the holidays coming up, I wanted to kind of talk about this. So let's bring this into the holidays. So Thanksgiving is naturally aligned with gratitude, family, and abundance, and it's coming up very quickly. And it's the ideal time to practice some kitchen witchery. So you can just simply start with your intention. Before you even pick up a knife or turn on the stove, just take a quiet moment to ground yourself before you start that long day of cooking. Close your eyes, breathe deeply, and reflect on what you're grateful for. It doesn't have to be grand or poetic. Maybe it's your family, your friends, your home, or even small personal victories that you've had recently. Gratitude is a powerful fuel for magic. When you hold the sense of appreciation in your heart, as you cook, it can subtly shift your energy, and that energy can be warm, thankful, and authentic. And with that, it flows straight into the food you create, and it makes just a more magical sense altogether in the holidays. And so along with this, many traditional Thanksgiving foods carry strong energetic correspondences, which make the season especially magical for kitchen witches. Pumpkins represent abundance and manifestation. Cranberries offer vitality and protection. Apples bring harmony and love. And then herbs like sage cleanse and clear stagnant energy, making space for blessings to flow in. And you can't forget about all the colors on your tables. They are iconic with this time that we're in. We have the golds, oranges, deep reds, and earthy browns all reflect that warmth, the harvest energy, and the comfort. It goes along with our harvest festivals of Mabon and Samhain, and just reminds us of the themes of the season, which are abundance, gratitude, and just with the turning of the wheel. Even a simple garnish or a decorative touch can amplify this energy for the meal. And even though Thanksgiving isn't necessarily a Sabbath that we celebrate, it is still something that we can infuse a lot of magic in. And so going with that, it's just important that you can also do it something very simple as blessing the meal. So when it's finally time to eat, you can bless the meal in whatever way feels natural to you. This can be a spoken blessing, it can be a silent intention, or just a shared moment of presence with your loved ones. You might say something like, "May this food nourish, may this food nourish, heal, and connect us." Or you can craft your own words that match your tradition or your personal practice or your personal family. And the act of acknowledging the meal as sacred transforms the dining table into a circle of connection. Whether you're surrounded by family, sharing with friends, or just nourishing yourself in the moment of solitude, all of that is important and all of it matters. So you can also just add magic in small little magical gestures throughout the day. by weaving in tiny, unobtrusive acts of magic that enhance the energy of your home. Because kitchen witchery doesn't always have to happen in the kitchen. It can expand outside of the kitchen as well, because we know that you cook a whole meal in a day, but you're not always in the kitchen to do it. Maybe you sprinkle a pinch of herbs clockwise around the table to charge the space with abundance. Or you might light a candle in the kitchen as you cook, or incense, which can invite warmth, protection, and the spirit of the season to settle in. You could even hum a tune or ring a small bell, or simply just open up a window for a moment to let the fresh air and energy circulate. All of these little touches shift the atmosphere and help your kitchen feel like a sacred living space, one where nourishment, magic, and gratitude can thrive. And so, with Thanksgiving coming up, we do know that inevitably after that, we have the Sabbath of Yule and the returning of the sun. Yule is the winter solstice. It is one of the most powerful points on the wheel of the year. It does mark the longest night and the quiet promise that the sun is returning to us. It's a time of light, rebirth, and new beginnings. And kitchen witchery naturally fits into the celebration because food is such a tangible way to welcome warmth back into our homes. Every simmer pot, every baked treat, every candle lit in the kitchen becomes a part of this ritual of calling that light forward and calling the child of our sun to come back to us. And so before we begin cooking for the Sabbath of Yule, it's important to try and take a moment to tune into the energy of renewal. You might focus on personal intentions like inviting clarity, courage, healing, or growth into your life, or you might send blessings towards your loved ones for the year ahead. Many witches also work with abundance and prosperity during Yule, and I personally like trying to set the tone for the coming cycle, for the coming year, and just trying to set an intention of what new beginnings I want for myself. And whatever your intention is, it's important to hold it gently in your mind as you prepare your ingredients, letting it settle into your hands, into your heartbeat. With Yule, depending on how your family is or how your upbringing is, many of the ingredients are very traditional and have a lot of energy infused with them. Yule foods are all about that warmth, that comfort, and abundance. We do know it as the longest night. And so with it being the longest night and one of the colder nights, we want to bring that warmth. We want to bring that comfort in. And so we see a lot of citrus fruits being brought in to bring the brightness and the purification. There's lots of nuts and seeds that symbolize the potential of new beginnings. You can use lots of different spices. Some of the main ones are cinnamon, clove, nutmeg, and ginger, and all of these invite warmth, protection, and prosperity into our lives. And even something as simple as baking bread can become a deeply symbolic act, representing that nourishment, that growth, and the promise of the returning of the sun. And it's important to not underestimate the magic of everyday motions. When you're boiling water, or storing a stew, or kneading the dough, try and take a second to visualize the words slowly brightening and the sun slowly coming out, and see that sunlight returning inch by inch, and let your kitchen become an entire cauldron of renewal. And so one thing I want to share with you is just a little mini ritual, like Yule ritual, that you might be able to do while you're cooking. It's just something to maybe try this year when you're cooking a Yule meal, or just a Yule, when you're cooking a Yule meal for your family. And so what you can do is, as you cook, you can incorporate small, powerful gestures. Stir clockwise while envisioning sunlight spilling into your home. Whisper those blessings over your ingredients, whatever blessing that you want to bring into your family. And light a candle on the counter or at your stovetop. And when you do this, understand that it represents the rebirth of the sun. And you can even say a simple affirmation like, as the light grows, so does my strength and my blessings. And these tiny little rituals can weave that energy into your food and infuse your kitchen with hope, warmth, and magic. And it's so important to try and just do that little bit by little bit, because it's so easy to forget to add those little moments in your everyday. And we do these things unknowingly. We all cook our meals and we don't think, oh, well, I can infuse my intentions into it. And so it's important to know that even if you don't have time for big holiday meals, you can practice kitchen witchery every day. You can incorporate it into your everyday life very simply. So here are a few tips of what you can do to bring this into your everyday life. It's important to know that you don't have to wait for a Sabbath or a special ritual to practice kitchen witchery. In fact, the most powerful magic, I feel, often comes from the smallest, most ordinary moments. And I know personally, that is the hardest thing for me to do. But when I take the time to do them, that's when I feel most connected. And that's when I feel the magic the strongest. And so just start small. Like I've said many times, stir your morning coffee with intention, or add a pinch of spice with purpose, or just simply whisper a simple blessing over your meals. And all of these tiny acts weave magic into the rhythm of your day without needing extra time, tools, or preparation. And it's so important to just start small and be consistent with it, because the more consistent you are, the stronger the magic's going to be. And that comes into the next tip I have, is just consistency overall. Consistency is where the real transformation does happen. Even the simplest daily acts, such as lighting a candle before you cook, or burning incense and creating that sacred space, or just taking one mindful breath as you season a dish, can be all the difference and build all of the energy into your dish that you need. And that strength will be felt, and it will overall strengthen your awareness. It will deepen your intuition, and it will turn the kitchen into a living, breathing, sacred space. So think of it like tending a hearth. Every small act adds fuel to the fire. So don't give up on fueling the fire. Just do it little bit by little bit. And then lastly, trust your intuition. Trust yourself and your personal connection to the ingredients, the tools, and the actions. That all matters more than any traditional rule or correspondence. I always say your intuition is the strongest tool that you will ever have in witchcraft. Your guides will never put you down the wrong path if you listen to them. If something feels magical to you, then it is magical. If a certain herb reminds you of home, or a particular spoon makes you feel grounded, honor that and allow that to be your personal practice, because magic is personal. You're going to read so many different things and so many different ways of doing all of these magical acts, but your instincts and your emotional associations are part of your power, and that's not something you can read in a book. So the more you follow them and the more you listen to your intuition, the stronger your practice is going to become. And remember, the magic isn't in the complexity. It's in the care and the attention you put into your actions. And your kitchen is one of the most powerful places in your home for everyday magic, because it is the center of your home. And it's the center of many families, because it's where so many conversations happen, so much joy happens, so many memories are made. And so take that and make it into magic along with everything that it already is. And so today we just explored kitchen witchery. It was a pretty short, quick podcast episode for today. And it's just understanding that from the basics of intention and mindful cooking to just holiday specific practices that you can try for Thanksgiving and Yule, it's important that whether you're stirring a pot, chopping vegetables, or baking treats, understand that your energy and intention can transform ordinary food into something magical. And so, like I always do, before I close out today's episode, I invite you to take a moment to ground yourself. Wherever you are, sitting, standing, or curled up somewhere cozy, allow your body to settle. Let your shoulders soften and gently, without forcing anything, take a slow, deep breath in and exhale. Let your breath find its own natural rhythm. Each inhale, bringing clarity. Each exhale, releasing anything that feels heavy. Now bring your awareness down into your body. Feel the weight of yourself being supported by your chair, your bed, the floor beneath you. Imagine roots gently extending from the soles of your feet or the base of your spine, reaching down into the earth. They don't have to go far, just enough to connect you. And with your next breath, imagine the earth meeting you halfway, offering a steady, warm glow of grounding energy. Let that energy rise up through your roots, into your legs, your core, your chest, and all the way to your heart. Feel your heart space soften and warm, like a small, steady flame. This is your inner light, your inner hearth, your inner sun. On your inhale, imagine the flame growing just a little brighter. And on your exhale, imagine it settling into a comfortable glow, strong, steady, and present. Now bring to mind one intention you're carrying forward, something simple. Peace, balance, clarity, abundance, healing, gratitude, or anything your spirit needs right now. Hold that intention gently. No pressure, no forcing, just awareness. With your next breath, imagine sending that intention down through your roots into the earth, letting the earth anchor it for you, letting it grow in its own time. Now take one more deep, nourishing breath in and a long breath out. Feel your body here. Feel your steadiness. Feel your light. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers, your toes, and bring your awareness back to the room around you. And carry this grounding energy with you as you move into the rest of your day. Blessed be. And thank you for joining me on Cradles and Candles. I hope today's episode inspired you to find a little magic in your everyday life. And remember, wherever you are in your journey, curious, learning, or fully immersed, you're not alone. I hope you all have an amazing holiday for Thanksgiving. And if you try anything from this podcast for your kitchen witchery, or just attempt anything that you want to share, please do. I'd love to hear what kitchen witchery you're up to and what you incorporate into your holiday meals or just your everyday life. And if you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing it with someone who might need a little magic today. You can follow me on Instagram at Cradles and Candles. You can also follow me on TikTok at Cradles and Candles for more guidance, inspiration, and community. And of course, to share any tips or things that you might be doing in your everyday life. So until next time, keep your candle lit, your heart open, and the magic alive.